Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And no doubt that is right where we're going in the life of Joseph. And I'm sure that they knew that when they were praying over what song to sing tonight. And God gave them that song. What a great message, because it's so true. That's the theme of the life of Joseph. God is able to work all things out for good. God is able to work all things out for good. And he will, as long as we continue to make the right choices, the right decisions in the midst of those trials and troubles and whatever they might be. And if we make the right decisions, you can mark it down. God will work it all out for good and according to his perfect eternal will. What a blessing it is to know that. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And this will be our last lesson on the life of Joseph. He dies tonight. Amen. We've seen it all the way from birth, amen, and we've stayed with him his whole life. But as is the case for all of us, it's appointed that a man wants to die. But what's most important is how we live while we're here, what we're able to accomplish for the cause of Christ and for the will of God. And Joseph is a life that God has recorded, and it's there for our learning. It's there for us to glean from, and realizing that Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, understanding that. We have many biblical principles taught through the life of Joseph, and we seen last week as we studied this that what he tells his brothers in verse 20 of chapter 50, "But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people." That's what God was, his purpose for it was. And that's what God, why God allowed it. But Joseph had to continue to make the right decisions. If Joseph would not have continued to make the right decisions, it would not have turned out for good. I trust we understand that. It's not automatic. If God's going to work it out for good, he's able to work it all out for good. But if he's going to work it out for good, we have to make right decisions. And if Joseph would have given in to the temptation with Potiphar's wife, you would have never read the life of Joseph in the Bible. Now, God would have raised somebody else up to accomplish his will. But it would not have been the way it was. But he worked it out because Joseph continued to make the right decisions. Now, last week we studied up to verse 22 in chapter 50. We studied 15 down to verse 21. And Joseph returns to Egypt with his brothers. They've just buried Jacob, their father. And we learned a lot from that. But as they come back to Egypt, we find that they responded differently to the loss of their father, Jacob. Joseph was able to conquer sorrows and troubles, even the sorrow and trouble of losing his father, which he loved very much, and it was very evident. But he was able to conquer those, and so can we. We're more than conquerors through Christ. No matter what it is we have to face, no matter what kind of battle, no matter what kind of trial, no matter what kind of temptation, listen to me, we have that example, and then we have Jesus telling us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can't lose sight of that, but we have to yield to him. We're not robots. God's given us a free will. And we have to yield to the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. He's within you. If you're saved, he'll never leave you nor forsake. You're sealed. He's there. But we have to learn to yield to him in the midst of all of the trials and troubles and sorrows and circumstances and situations of life. No matter what it is, we all will go through them. But it's how we focus on Christ as we go through them that will make the difference. And we find that in the life of Joseph. Now they come back. Joseph is still able to conquer the sorrows and troubles that will follow the loss of and the void in his life concerning the loss of his father Jacob. His brothers did not have that. His brothers allowed imaginations to rob them of peace and joy. They thought Joseph, now he's been waiting for dad to die and he's going to kill us or he's going to put us in prison. Their imagination started running wild. And Joseph addresses them has to reassure them. But if we're not careful, and if we have a lot of scars of sin in our life, it's going to be more difficult to stay focused on God. We studied that last week. I trust you remember the message there, because every sin scars your mind. Everything that you allow yourself to think, everything you allow yourself to feel, every experience you've ever gone through, no matter what it's been, it has been stored in your mind. And you have given Satan access to that. And whatever he was able to use to get the victory in your life in the past, he will continue to bring that. Now, he might give you a few years of peace, if you will, just by letting you forget or whatever, but he's going to come back in those very same areas. That's why the Bible says we all need to be aware of the sin that so easily besets us. And for some, the sins that so easily beset us. And the more we give into that, the more scars. And his brothers had all this. They had the guilt. They had everything that they had done to Joseph, all the different things. But they could overcome it. They could become conquerors themselves. And we find that. That's what was went on. So we studied that last Wednesday. And tonight, Joseph's life comes to an end. And so let's read the last few verses here. Genesis chapter 50. Stand with me. We'll read verse 22 down to verse 26. After Joseph deals with his brothers and tries to help them in their spiritual maturity, tries to help them to put their faith and trust in God, he tries to explain to them the way he was able to get through it all, but just making right choices. And he's telling them, you can make right choices, and if you choose the right things, then you can have the very same victories in your life that God's given me in my life. That's what we looked at last week. Now look, verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land and to the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the precious Bible. Thank you for the time that we've had in studying this life of Joseph, that which you have written down, recorded for us to learn from. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget some of the principles and the lessons we've learned from this story of the life of Joseph. I pray that it would always be a help and a strength to us. And tonight, God, as we come to the end of this life, and Lord, and we move on to what you have for us next, we just pray that you'd meet with us and that you would help us as we study this, be able to receive the message that you have for us tonight. Pray that you'd bless in this study, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Joseph would live another 53 to 54 years after Jacob's death. Okay, so from verse 22 down to verse 26, in those five verses, God covers 54 years. Now, did you get on the life of Joseph? In those five verses, he covers 54 years. There's not much recorded. Most of what God recorded was during the 23 years of training. Look at the life of Joseph. You find most of what God has written down, recorded for us to learn from, because that's when we need it the most, is how to face the trials and how to face the troubles and how to face the sorrows. For 23 years of training to be able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish in the will of God. That's what God recorded most of it. Scripture reveals enough of his 110 years of life to let us know that God was with him through it all. There's a song out there, and you probably are thinking about it. I know I was when I seen this. Oh, through it all. He's with us through it all. We need to be aware of his presence through it all. What is all? It's everything that life can throw at us. And can I tell you, life from birth to death is going to throw a lot of things at us. If you live in making right choices your whole life, you're still going to have to deal with a lot of things. You're still going to have to deal with a lot of oppression. You're going to have to deal with a lot of opposition. You're going to have to deal with a lot of physical problems, of physical battles, as well as spiritual problems and spiritual battles. And that is if you're making right decisions. God has a purpose for every life. However long it might be, God has a purpose for every life. We just got to make sure that we make the most out of our life for the cause of Christ. We're making right decisions throughout life. I know 2 years ago or so, our oldest daughter, Crystal, lost twins. And God, in the hospital there, after was able to hold those two babies, they had to have a birth certificate and then turn around and have a death certificate for them. Didn't know why. But I remember praying there in their hospital room, and we thank God for how he used the brief, but the lives of those two little baby boys. It impacted their lives, impacted our lives. And I dare say that it impacted the lives of this church family. A week from Friday, she's going to give birth to two twins. I told her then that these two lives paved the way for the lives that would come. And I believe that. But at some point, for it to work out the way it did, right decisions had to be made along the way. It's too early to get that emotional. But right decisions. No matter how long a life we have, that's really not the most important thing, is how God is going to use that life. Most of what God recorded for us in the life of Joseph was those 23 years of training. But the scriptures do reveal that there was 110 years of life, and Joseph's testimony for the 110 years of his life is that he made right decisions. God was with him through it all. And God will be with us through it all, no matter how tough they might be. No matter what kind of battles you might have to fight, no matter what kind of sorrows and what kind of whatever it might be, life is going to throw a lot at us. We just have to be focused, and I believe that's why we have the life of Joseph, because the toughest years of his life is what's recorded. And during the toughest years, those 23 years out of the 110 years, is when it was most important that he made the right decisions. And we have them to read and study and know that he made right decisions and God was with him. God blessed the life of Joseph because of Joseph's faithfulness to God. He remained faithful to God. I knew the most important thing we could do in that hospital room is thank God, not blame God, not question God at that point, not bring up a lot of questions and bring up all. No, thank God for what God gave. And God gave the life of those two little babies, a brief, but it impacted, made a difference. And God's the one that decides when to call us home. But their life was meaningful. And they did pave the way. It revealed a physical problem that Crystal had that she was able to get taken care of so that she could be able to have two more babies. And God gave her twins, a little boy and a little girl. Genesis chapter 50, verse 22 and verse 23, it reveals that Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. It reveals, like I said, these 53 to 54 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children. He's revealing some of the blessings during this time. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's need. I can just see him. Now, he was still over Egypt, and he still had a job, but he was rejoicing over those grandbabies, amen, sitting on his lap. And not only grandbabies, but great-grandbabies and great-great-grandbabies. Amen. I mean, what a blessing. He ended his life rejoicing over God's blessings upon his life and his family. And they're in Egypt. Joseph and his father's house, all his family were blessed by God because of the testimony of the life of Joseph. Now look over to Exodus there, chapter 1. I want you to see something here. That's all. It records those 54 years in those five verses there. But then over in the book of Exodus, in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says this, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, all that generation. That's part of life. Now, during that time, there's more lives being born. There's more children being influenced. The nation of Israel is growing. It would grow to multi-million Hebrews in Egypt. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. But now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. They were in Egypt for some 400 years. During the life of Joseph and his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, as long as he was alive, and we don't know exactly how many more years, possibly 100 or hundreds of years, who knows exactly how long, but they remembered Joseph, and his testimony was so powerful for God that they were allowed to grow and were allowed to flourish in the land of Egypt to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish, and that is to grow this nation of Israel to an innumerable amount of children. The land was filled with them. Now, it wasn't God's will for them to stay in Egypt. And so God would have to start working now to be able to get them to leave Egypt. But his testimony, and we weren't going to go into that, but his testimony was so powerful that it affected generations to follow. The decisions that we make in our lives can affect and will affect generations to follow. Decisions we make in marriage will not only affect our lives and our temporary lives and the lives of our children today, it will affect generations to follow. Your sin, by yielding to that sin and allowing Satan to use that, will be used by the devil to affect as many as he can affect with your sins and my sins. But at the same point, when we're making right decisions, God can use your testimony to affect not only this generation, to affect your family now, but to affect generations to follow. In the life of Joseph, I want you to see, and we have to see this, God give us the account of the life of Joseph while he was going through the most troubling times of his life. And he made right decisions. If you can make right decisions in that kind of circumstances, it makes it easier to make the right decisions, amen, when things are going right. But God will use those right decisions to affect generations to follow. Don't be so nearsighted that you don't see that. Don't let Satan blind you with the here and now and the temporary pleasures of sin. And yes, you can have temporary blessing, temporary pleasures of sin, but only for a season. And then you'll look back to that temporary time for the rest of your life in regrets. Joseph's final words, and that's what we're looking at here tonight, verse 24 down to verse 26. The Bible tells us that what took place, because of the testimony of Joseph, he was able to see his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, the generations to follow. They were flourishing. God was accomplished what he had them in Egypt to accomplish. They grew to a multi-million number of people. And then Joseph says this, his final words. Verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry out my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. Now look right here at the end. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph's faith was made public even in Egypt. Joseph could have and would have been buried in one of the tombs or pyramids where the great Egyptian leaders would have been buried. I guarantee you, the impact that Joseph and his testimony had on Egypt, Pharaoh at that time would have said, Joseph, I want to put you in one of the tombs of the great leaders in the late nation of Egypt, where the pharaohs are buried, in the tombs, the sealed tombs, in the pyramids that they would have built in honor of the lives of all these so-called great leaders of this land of Egypt. It was their way. But Joseph would have had to, first of all, talk to Pharaoh and said, you know, I don't want that. That's not God's will for my life. He would have publicly made it known that he would be placed into a coffin. Now, you read that, and it doesn't seem like there's much there to it, but there's a whole lot more to it. Because for generations to come, for almost 400 years, or some 300 years anyway, Joseph's bones in this coffin would be viewed by not only all of Egypt, but by all of Israel. He wasn't buried with the other pharaohs and the great leaders of Egypt and the pyramids. He was embalmed, mummified, and placed in a coffin, which would have been like what we would know as a casket, where the children of Israel could view. And when Moses would lead them out, carry him out with them. Exodus chapter 13. This would be, they were in the land of Egypt for some 400 years. one generation passed down to the next generation. Joseph's command to them. When all this takes place that God promised would take place, we're to carry this casket out with us. We're to take this coffin that at this point just housed the bones of Joseph, and it's going out with us. And after all was said and done with, when Moses had fought the battles that he fought and they were ready to exit Egypt, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. You see, what that did, that helped Joseph's testimony to be spread around to all the Egyptians, to give them an opportunity to believe in the God of Israel, the Creator God of Israel. It would also allow the nation of Israel to be reminded of the testimony of Joseph and what God did through his life. It's that part of the life of Joseph that places him in Hebrews Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What a great book of the Bible, and especially chapter 11 is the hall of faith of those Old Testament saints and all that God has to say about them, and what a blessing. You read that, study that. Hebrews chapter 11 ought to be something that you read periodically just to be encouraged by the faith. And Joseph is found here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. 110 years of his life. What did God record in the book of Hebrews in the hall of faith? By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now that's powerful. There's more to that, and the principle behind that is he wanted to make sure that he made his faith public. Today, do others know of our faith? Or do we attempt to hide it? Because we don't want to be ridiculed by coworkers. We don't want to be made fun of by other kids in school, neighbors on the block. God reveals that the testimony of Joseph was so powerful. It impacted not only the lives of all of Israel, it impacted the lives of the Egyptians for that time period. They allowed them to grow. They allowed them their liberties, if you will, because of the powerful testimony that Joseph had. It passed down from generation to generation. If people do not know of your faith, if they do not know where you stand, God cannot use it to impact other people's lives. And Satan is trying to suppress Christianity today. No doubt about it. Because when you speak up, the most persecuted religion, if you will, by the world standards, religions or ways to believe, the most persecuted religion in America today is Christianity. And Christianity is not a religion, it is Christ. But as the world views it, that's what the world's trying to stamp out, trying to suppress those Bible thumpers. Amen. Those that think that they're so holier than thou because we won't accept homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. We won't accept the ways of the world as just a preference. We hold to the precious Word of God. We preach and we teach biblical truths and biblical standards and biblical morality. Something that the world does not want to hear. And if you're not careful, we'll allow the world's pressures to suppress our testimony. And our testimonies is what's going to be remembered from generation to generation. Jesus knew that. Look what he taught in Mark chapter 8. Mark in chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. Well, I'm not ashamed of Christ. Then why would you suppress it? Why would you want to keep people from knowing what you believe and why you believe it? And from living and appearing to live for Christ and be a Christian. Separate, different from the world. See, today, even in the church, parents are getting upset if their children are not dressing like the world. And yet, a Christian parent realizes, I'm not going to let the world dictate how my children appear. I'm not going to allow the world to dictate the testimony of my child. If we are Christian and we believe in the Word of God and the ways of God, then we need to raise our children to identify with Christ rather than the world in every area of life. Identify with the man that God created you to be, and identify with the woman that God created you to be. Because that's a testimony that God wants you to have to the world as well as to your family. To Egyptians as well as to the Israelites. And Jesus, knowing that that would be one of Satan's tactics to suppress the testimony of his children, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. It's what the Lord said. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Look on over to the next chapter book, Luke in chapter 9. Luke 9:26 says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, the testimony of Christ and the word of God, the Bible. And somebody will say, you don't really believe that the Bible is literally the very thoughts of a creator God, do you? And smile and want to laugh. And the Christian ought to say, yes, I do. Because it is. But when we shrink down and we allow them to intimidate us, showing that you're ashamed of what you really believe. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1, look what Paul writes. Verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed. You study the life of Paul. Amen. And just like the life of Joseph, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to take the stand that God wants me to take because I want his blessings. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. chapter 9, Romans, verse 33. Chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." God says, don't be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed to tell people what you believe. Do not be ashamed to tell people what thus saith the Lord. Can I tell you that that's what you need to learn, how to address things? When somebody has a problem, when somebody has an issue, one of the things, just the words to say is, have you considered what God says in the Bible? It's true. It'll work. It's been proven. Have you considered the Bible? Have you considered what God said about your salvation, about your marriage, about your problem with your children, about how to deal with relationship problems, whatever it might be? And then in chapter 10, in verse 11, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So once you get saved, for the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him," if you truly got saved, "whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Amen. When you know what God has done for you and you experience what is real, how can you not want everyone to experience the very same salvation? Joseph made sure that his faith was made public. In his death, how they would bury him, where they would bury him, would represent his testimony. He was not going to be put with the Pharaohs. He was not going to be put in the pyramids and the tombs of the Egyptians. He's put in a coffin and kept it out where they could pick him up and carry him out of Egypt. They didn't realize it was going to be almost 400 years. But he was still there 400 years after they went into Egypt. When they come out, the coffin, his bones, was there for him to carry out. That's a powerful statement. Now, again, five verses cover the last 54 years. And what we see in the New Testament concerning the Hebrews Hall of Faith was what most important in his whole life was his death. The testimony. Joseph's faith was made clear in that very same last statements that he made. Verse 24 down to verse 26. It was made clear. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land." Because he believed what he had been taught by his father about the Abrahamic covenant. He had believed what God had promised to Abraham, what God had promised to Isaac, and what God had promised to his father Jacob, and what Jacob had taught him. He believed it all. Been passed down from generation to generation. He believed it all, and he wanted it to continue to be passed down. He told them. He made sure that they understood. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. God will surely bring us out. His faith was made clear. It was not a doubting faith. Salvation should never be a doubting faith. I talk to people, and you might as well. Do you know for sure? When you die, do you know where you... Well, I think I do. I hope so. I'm a pretty good person. A lot of worse people in this world than I am. I've not did half the sins I know some other people have. So I believe that I've got a good chance. That's not the salvation that God tells us we ought to have. God tells us we ought to have a no-so salvation. Joseph had a no-so understanding of who God was and what God was going to do. He knew that the Bible was true. He knew that the Abrahamic covenant was just as God had promised it. He knew what was passed down to him would be passed down to generations to follow. And ultimately, God had a plan to take them out of Egypt and put them back in the promised land. He was positive. He was confident in his faith. He made it clear to others. Sounds like the Apostle Paul. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:12, and he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." My ministry, I've suffered a lot of things, he's saying. I've made right choices in every situation that life threw my way. And he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Not only was he not ashamed, he said, and the reason he wasn't ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And look what he says, and am persuaded. That's exactly the testimony of Joseph. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So in closing tonight, let me ask you a question. How are we living our lives? It's impacting those around you. Whether you realize it or not, it is. Satan's going to use it, or God's going to use it. Are we living as one who truly believes in God's presence? Mark this down. Faith will be revealed in our faithfulness. You want to see if a person really is full of faith? Look to how faithful they are to the things of God. If you're not being faithful to the things of God, you don't have much faith. In closing, one last passage, Proverbs chapter 3, very well known. But I think it's a good way to finish the life of Joseph, because this is what Joseph did every day of his life. 110 years, God was with him. God used his life. Proverbs chapter 3, this is the key. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Are we living our life that way? And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In every decision of life, acknowledge God. In every step of the way, acknowledge there's a God. If we truly believe that there's a God, then how we live will reflect it. You're here tonight, Wednesday night. There's no doubt that there's something that everyone here could have been doing other than come to church on Wednesday night. What led you to come to church on a Wednesday night as you had opportunity to be here? Your belief in God and his will for your life. That's why I would trust, if you was able to make the choice on your own, it's because you believe in God. And you understand the will of God, as we have opportunity not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And you believe when you come to church that you could sing praises unto the Lord, you'd hear a message from the Bible that God would use to speak to us. That's God's design. That's God's plan. And you acknowledged him. If we acknowledge God every day, through it all, no matter what it is that your life throws at you, if you acknowledge God, the Bible says, he shall direct thy paths. All Joseph did, he couldn't control all the circumstances of his life. There were many. He could control of how he allowed it to affect his life, how he allowed it to affect his decisions. And whatever life threw at Joseph, he acknowledged God. And by acknowledging God, made the right decisions. By making the right decisions, God directed his path. If we acknowledge God every day, he will direct our paths every day, as he did Joseph. The life of Joseph. A tremendous, practical study in the ways and the will of God. I trust God's used it to help and be a blessing to you. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.